A chance to do that, and I'm excited about the series that I'm about to get to preach and some of the things that God has just dropped in my spirit about miracles. I should have known if he was calling us to holiness that it was about to get really fun, and that he was calling us to miracles. Holiness precedes miracles. That's why Jesus was so serious about it and still is so serious about it, and I'm still so serious about it. I want miracles now. I want miracles in the future generations. I want miracles at camp. I mentioned it last week. I have this on my heart. The Lord just shook me up really good and said, camp is not VBS. Camp is not vacation Bible school. Camp is not just a little meeting for the kids to have fun. Camp is deliverance. Camp is breakthrough. Camp is a time for miracles. We got to go there first. We've got to experience miracles first. And the Lord has it available to us. And this morning's miracle is the miracle of mercy. And I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God that he sees us, that he sees you right where you're at. This whole morning up to this point has been God reminding you as he's worked in our midst. I see you. I see your situation. I see every tangent. I see every margin. I see every nook and cranny. I see every possibility, every fear, every worry, every concern, everything that you think is a roadblock, and I'm going to address it. Listen to the voice of the Lord. He will address those things. I want to go to the story of blind Bartimaeus. We used to sing this song called It Happened. The song was just called It Happened. And this was one of my Granny Mary's songs, and it said, blind Bartimaeus stood out by the road. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, and it happened just like he said. Some of y'all know it. Some of y'all went to church in the 90s. Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. For I go to make intercession for you, and it'll happen. Maybe we'll sing it tonight. Actually, we can't, because my dad won't be here, and I can't play it. But a cappella, worst nightmare. All right, here we go, the miracle of mercy. All right, let me just define mercy for you, okay, as it's written out in the Bible, as it's used, especially in the New Testament, it is compassion by miraculous grace. The compassion of God moving in your life and doing things that come as a move of grace, as something that you did not earn, you did not deserve. In fact, most times you deserve the opposite. You deserve judgment. You got mercy, right? Have mercy on me. If you plead for mercy, it's because you did something wrong and you don't want the consequence of the wrong thing that you did, if we're just breaking it down that way. The biblical definition is God's compassionate and undeserved kindness that withholds punishment, forgives sin, and acts to relieve suffering that comes as a result of sin. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Thank God that he comes in every situation. So every single one of you that's sitting here and saying, I feel like I just need to sit with this. I feel like I just need to sit in this thing. It's I've made my bed. I've got to lie in it. Listen, the song that we just sang that said, I wasn't made to be tend in a grave. The bed that you made that you think you need to lie in or that you think you can be comfortable in, it is a grave. And as long as you remain there, all you are is a caretaker of a grave, and you're not called to be that. You're called to be a testimony of resurrection power. So come out of that. Walk in the might of his mercy. Walk in the light of his grace and his love, and be a living testimony of the miracle that you already are. And there are more miracles ahead of you, by the way. And so here's the story. And I think the reason why blind men asked for mercy is because there was such a stigma on blind people. The stigma was that someone had sinned, that either their parents had sinned or they had sinned. They even asked Jesus in John, in the book of John, when he healed a blind man, they pulled him aside and said, so who's, they were just nosy rosies, just nosy. They didn't have no business needing to know this. The man had done, got healed, and they said, who sinned? Did he sin? Did his mom sin? What dirty deeds got done dirt cheap that this man had to walk around blind? And Jesus said, this man was born blind that my glory may be revealed. For my kingdom's sake, this man was born blind. And so what he was explaining was every person that needs mercy hasn't necessarily committed a horrible, terrible sin, but everybody needs mercy, and mercy is given to reveal the glory of God. Mercy isn't even just given to make your life easier. Thank God that it does. Thank God that it relieves suffering, but mercy is given to you for the glory of God, and God's will is that he is glorified. So if you can't believe that mercy is coming your way for any other reason, and I get that, but if you can't believe for any other reason, even if you think you are not worthy, he is worthy. He gives mercy because his name is worthy. He gives mercy for his name's sake. There's not a person in this room that is disqualified from mercy. Let's read the story about blind Bartimaeus. I'm actually going to read in the King James this morning. Woo! Going real old school, y'all are like, she pinned her hair up. She preached mean and scary things. And now she's reading from the King James. What is happening? Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, they is Jesus and his disciples, with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When I think of that, it's so funny because all of our church kids that saw this happen, we were at a camp where they called it an exorcism. I think it's just semantics. We don't call it that in the AG. Okay, we call it deliverance. All right. And when the kids tried to say an exorcism happened, our presbyter was like, let's just say deliverance, please. But the moment that this had to happen at a camp that we were at, Alyssa's first camp, and then Rustin tricked her and told her that once, I shouldn't even say this. It'll make y'all think we're irreverent. He said this, and he never should have said this to her as they were about to get married, and she hadn't been in Pentecostalism very much. But he said, watch it, because if there's a demon and that demon is cast out, it will find the weakest one. That is a big old fat lie. All of that is a big fat lie, and he was a brave, brave boy to tell that to Alyssa. But then Alyssa, she got freaked out, but then she looked around, and there was people sleeping, and she said, I'm fine. She said, I am fine, because there's sleeping people. It's going to get one of them before it gets me. She said I was Baptist, but that had to be better than sleeping. And none of that is theologically correct, but they messed with Alyssa hard. But it was a serious moment, and it was very loud. It was loud in that service, because kids know, you go to camp, you just get loud immediately. No holding back. And worship was so loud, but this was a different loud. And it was just this wail, and this what was happening was a boy was crying out who was genuinely demon possessed, and we had a future preacher in the midst who said, in the name of Jesus, he marched across that altar, he laid hold of that boy and literally commanded that he be freed and that demon leave, and it absolutely happened. But the noise, if you have ever dealt with true spiritual warfare, then there is a cry that needs to be released for you to be free. It's not some magic potion. It's not some special formula. But if you're not willing to cry out all the more, and that's not just for someone who needs to be delivered of a demon, but someone that needs to be delivered of addiction. And sometimes some of that comes from, that's demonic stuff, that needs to be delivered from brokenness, that needs to be delivered from unforgiveness, that needs to be delivered from guilt and shame and doubt and cycles that keep repeating. You got to learn to cry aloud. I'm preaching ahead of myself, but you got to learn to cry louder. I've seen it happen time and time again, and I've seen the miracle that comes from someone that's willing to cry out. And so he said, and I accidentally almost preached my first point. I'll get there in a second. Son of David, have mercy on me. I only got 13 minutes anyway. And many charged him to hold his peace, and he didn't. He yelled it all the more louder, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, be of good good cheer is what they were saying. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, what do you want? What should I do for you? What are you asking of me? Is what he was saying. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. So we see Jesus show up to a place called Jericho. And do you know that he was on his way to the cross? Do you know that we were about to walk into Passion Week? But he said, I need to go through Jericho. I've got things that need to be done. Can I tell you that the Lord is not too busy for you? There is not a more urgent matter at hand than for you to meet with mercy this morning, and he will go where he needs to go. Did you know that Jericho is the lowest place on earth? Did you know that it is over 800 feet below sea level? Did you know that from the point of Jericho to Jerusalem is a 3,300 foot increase in elevation? There's not a hill in Arkansas that is that high. Mount Magazine is 2,700. But did you know that he decided, I won't take the shortcut across the hills of Judea. I won't take the shortcut across the countryside, but I will walk the way of the shoreline and I will visit Jericho and I will go to the low. I could get a preach on this. I will go to the low place and do a miracle before I get to that city on a hill. You're called to be a city on a hill, but you need to meet mercy in the low point, and you need to see Jesus pull a miracle out of your life so you can follow him to the high place. And that's what he's calling you to, and you're not too low for mercy to meet you, and you're not too desperate to be delivered, and Jesus is not too busy to see you. Man, maybe we should stop. I ain't even preached one point. That's the intro. When worship started getting good, I was like, oh no, I got something I gotta say. I'll do one. How about that? And by the way, he almost missed him in Jericho. Where did it say Bartimaeus was? The edge of the city, out by the highway. He was barely in the lowest place. Not only was he in the lowest place, he was barely in the lowest place. And he was at a place that he had been commissioned to. Sometimes you're in a low place, often it is not entirely of your choosing. That's the place that you have been somehow, whether it's by the way of your family, by the way of your raising, your choices, whatever it might be, you've been placed somewhere. Jesus will find where you have been placed. Jesus will find where life has put you. And he will call you out. He is at your Jericho this morning. But you've got to cry out. I want to preach my 2 points, and I'll do the last one tonight. I'll do it quick. 9 minutes, I got this. First of all, how do you play this part in the miracle of mercy? The first thing, and I already halfway preached it, is you cry out. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should be quiet, and he cried the more of a great deal, Son of David, have mercy. First of all, when he heard, because he couldn't see. If you don't have the complete package of faith, use what you have this morning. If you are not fully compelled, and even if you are in that place of going, man, all I know to do is cry out. I don't have the doctrine. I don't have all of the basics. We can get you the basics later. If you're like, I'm just hearing about Jesus, I'm just hearing about deliverance, I'm just hearing about freedom, I don't know how to get there, I don't know the 12 steps, I don't know what my next move looks like, use what you have. And what you have is what you've already heard from Kira, that our God is a miracle worker. You have the Spirit of God, the presence of God in this room, and it is enough to get you to your miracle. It is enough. He couldn't see, but he heard, and I don't even know that he heard that Jesus speaking himself, but he heard that he was coming. He heard that he was coming. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. He said, I cannot see him yet with my own eyes, and maybe he couldn't hear him yet. I don't know. But he was going to cry out anyway. So your first challenge, cry out anyway. If you don't have the goosebumps, if you don't got the holy roller kind of vibe that some of us have, cry out anyway. And I believe in a God that'll still show up. I believe in a God that'll hear you. I believe in a God that'll respond to you. Even when you got to get some things lined out, just cry out to Jesus and he'll respond. Secondly, on the first point, call to him as he is. He said, Jesus, son of David. That was the name for the Messiah. He was recognizing that this man is a savior. This is someone who can do something different. Don't you just call to him as another consciousness. Don't you just call to Jesus as another God. Don't you just call to Jesus as another form of therapy. Cry out to him as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the name above every other name, as the only one, the only one. There's a song right now by Tiffany Hudson called Jesus the Only, and we're going to sing it soon. And it says he's the only one that can deliver from sin. He's the only one that can cover you with his blood. He's the only one that can set you in your high places. He's the only one that can break the stronghold. He's the only one. And you've got to call out to him as he is. And you can say, God, comfort me in my blindness. Lead me around in my blindness, because I'd really rather not go to the next step. You've got to be ready to see. If you want a miracle, you have to be willing to get into a new level of independent discipleship. And that means there will be no more leading me by my hand. There will be no more leaning on my mother's or my grandmother's faith. There will be no more leaning into good, just to good podcast and worship music, but I'm going to experience the Lord for who he is, as he is, and for my own self. Bartimaeus was at a point where he said, I'm sick and tired of this. And the miracle is here, and I will not miss him, and I will not stay in this low place. So he called to him as he was. And then thirdly on this point, and I'm going to go ahead and do the second one too, escalate. Okay? So cry out. Here are my subpoints. When you cannot see, use what you have. Use what you can do. Secondly, call to him as he is, as the King, as the Messiah, as the Lord of Lords. Third, this is my favorite because I love escalation. Escalate. Where, however you have pursued the Lord previously, pursue him harder. However you have cried out to the Lord before, cry out deeper. Whatever you have asked of the Lord before, ask more sincerely. Ask more desperately. Ask more adamantly. I'm not demanding something of the Lord, but I am refusing to stay where I am because I know he's provided a way out. I know he's the healer. I know he's the miracle worker. I know, especially when it comes to our unsaved loved ones. We will not quit. We will not hush. We will not be quiet, but we will continue to storm the gates of hell for the lost. We will continue to pursue souls for Jesus, and in that we will see miracles after miracles. And so escalate. He escalated things. And sometimes you have to escalate in the midst of intimidation. There will be voices that try to intimidate you, and that's when you have to find your strong-willed child. There is not, you're like, oh, that's my middle, that's my this. No, no, no. Within yourself, there's a strong-willed child in there. Even if you're a firstborn who always made your mother happy, you got years of cooperation that you need to unleash in the energy of a strong-willed. Find that strong will. Find that. Why do we say, come to these altars? Come forward. Guess what? You could get a miracle in the back. But escalation is, I will stand in those altars. I will stand among a group of men and women who believe and who are crying out. I will lift my voice. I will put myself in a different position because I am escalating. And you know what the devil says? Oh, no. They're crying all the louder. They're calling on Jesus. They still calling on Jesus. And he ain't going nowhere. In fact, he's escalating. They're escalating. He's escalating. It's a whole thing. And it is prime moment for miracles when we begin to do that and cooperate. So secondly, and this is it, and then we'll wrap up. I'll preach the rest of it tonight. So one, cry out. Second, step out. Step out. This is interesting. Jesus stood still. Okay, he's walking through Jericho. And Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus. I might go a few minutes over. Don't look at your watch for the next 10 minutes. It's not 12 yet. And so it says he stood still and he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and they said, be of good cheer. He's calling you. And he threw his garment aside and he came to Jesus. Jesus would go to any length. Jesus came to Jericho on purpose to heal the blind man. Jesus is about to climb 3,300 feet because he wanted to come and heal the blind man. And he got in his midst, and bro is still blind. And he said, tell him to come to me. Is that not one that you could come to? Like, is that not one, right? Like, okay, woman with the issue of blood who touched me. Well, she could see where she was going. But he's asking a man who cannot see where he is going to come to him. Ha, that's fun, ain't it? That should challenge your faith. He is asking you to step out first. When you can't see, when you have to stumble, when you have to humble yourself, when you sometimes have to be led to him. People tell me this all the time. I got to do it on my own. I got to do this thing on my own. Okay? I mean, this is a personal thing for me. I want to get right with the Lord, but I got to do it on my own. You're going to stay blind. Because he is not just asking you to come to Jesus, but sometimes he is asking that you come to Jesus with the cooperation of other people. So not only do I respond when I cannot see, but I respond depending on people that love Jesus and love me. If you cannot choose to depend on people that love Jesus and love you, it's going to be hard for you to find mercy. Not because the people of God are not merciful, but because until you're open and honest, and until you're humble and willing. And by the way, the people that led him, how the turntables have turned. Don't you know that the same people that were telling Bartimaeus to hush then got the opportunity to lead Bartimaeus to his miracle? Don't be afraid to change your tune. Don't be afraid to change your method of operation. People of God, do not be afraid to embrace mercy. Amen. And say, sorry I told you to hush before. Sorry I looked past you before. Sorry you were too messy for me before. Sorry I was too lazy before. Sorry I was too self-righteous before. But can I take your hand? And can I lead you to Jesus? We got to change our tune. We got to change our method. We got to be willing to say, I was judgmental before, I was harsh before, I was probably hard to deal with before, I didn't understand the situation. We as a people of God need to be humble enough to say, I have not understood every situation, I have not understood the background of every person, I have not understood the pain of every person, and if this man, this woman is willing to walk to Jesus and they still cannot see, so they still stumble and they're still messy, then I will walk with them to Jesus and I will pick them up as many times as I have to pick them up. But if they're willing to step out at all, I will walk with them. And I'm telling you that the church that gets the prodigals, the church that's ready for the harvest, is going to be the church that's willing to walk with the blind and have their toes stepped on every once in a while. And we will be that church because we hear the call of Jesus and the blind are responding to the call of Jesus and they're stepping out while they're still messy, because that is the method of mercy, and thank God for it. This is hard, but it's not as hard as these last 2 weeks, so I understand that I'm still in your business, but come on, we can do this. He could not see to navigate. You have to trust the voice. You have to obey beyond the ability. I'm gonna keep you late, but you're gonna like it. Third point. You got to lose the license. He said, this man knew he was about to see. I know this man knew he was about to see, because before he was not a beggar, he stopped being a beggar. He took his garment and he cast it aside. He took his beggar's cloak and he threw it down by the highway. He said, I ain't gonna see you later. I'm gonna walk past you. Do you know that the beggar's cloak was their license to beg? Do you know that you could not ask for alms if you did not have a government-issued cloak? If you want to be healed, you've got to stop loving being bound up. If you want to be healed, you've got to stop loving being broke down. I promise you, the road that follows after Jesus is so much better than the side of the highway. But you're gonna have to feel the air on your skin when you come out of that cloak, and it's gonna be hard for those few steps to Jesus. But once you see him face to face, once you see him as he is, can I tell you, you won't miss the license, you won't miss the label, you won't miss your parking spot on the side of the highway, you won't miss your beggar's cup, you won't miss anything about the old way. But you gotta trust the Lord, and you got to trust his people, because he's calling us out together. Can I tell you that that miracle is for somebody in the room this morning? I feel it in my bones. I can't hardly stand myself right now. I can't stand what the Lord's about to do. I can't wait. Come out of the low place. And church, walk with them. Y'all can go ahead and come up. Even though last week when I played canned music, I got to pray with my family, and I did love that. Romans 8 and 14. I didn't give this to you, Steve. It's on my notes. I'll preach that third point tonight. As many are led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you something just with all the sincerity in me. There are men and women in this church who are full of the Spirit of God. Many of them. And sometimes to be led by the Spirit of God, you have to trust those men and women. I'm not calling for some sort of like weird cultish fellowship. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul would send Timothy to a church, Barnabas to a church, different apostles to a church, because he said, these people need help. We are at a point, and some of you are at a point, where what you need to say two things. I need you, Jesus. And the second thing you need to say is, I need help. There are men and women in this room who are led by the Spirit of God, who can show you the way. There are many who are learning to be led. We're all walking together. But we have to come to that point where we are all the family of God, because we left our places by the highway. We left our old identities. And we laid aside everything to follow after Jesus. Let me finish the scripture, and then we're going to get into the altars. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're about to do something different. Different. We're about to have a little adoption process, okay? Besides just, I'm adopted into the family of God as a child of God, I'm adopted into the family of God as a brother and sister in Christ. Because the devil has tried to isolate some people in this room. And some of you need to be willing to say, I need help. I need Jesus. I need people. I want a miracle and I need help. And I want you to come forward first. But there may be 1, 2, 3, 10. I don't know what there will be. Then comes the next part. Men and women in this church that need to say, I will love you. I will walk with you. I will help you. I will come alongside you. I will be here for you every step of the way. We need men and women to respond that say, I cannot do this by myself, but I want to throw that cloak aside. I want a new life and I want a new reality. You're going to respond first. But then the church needs to respond and come around them. So the way I see it, there shouldn't be many empty seats, if any. Right? Because you're in one camp or the other, aren't you? And by the way, people that need help and people that are giving help ain't no different, because we all need help, actually. But we're in a specific moment in time where some of you can taste freedom. Some of you can taste a brand new way. I am talking to you. I am talking to you for your families. I am talking to you for your children. I am talking to you for your unsaved parents. Let's go that far back. Stand with me this morning. Be bold. Be ready to pray. Bow your head for just a moment. Jesus, thank you for this moment. Thank you, God, that you come to the lowest of places. Thank you that you come to the most desperate of people, that there are miracles in this room. You're the miracle worker. Thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for the ways that you are able. Come on, if you're in that first group and you're ready and willing to step out and pursue Jesus with all your heart, and you say, I want to lay that cloak aside, I want to follow Jesus, and I want to see transformation in my life, would you come forward first? Would you come forward and stand in these altars? Come on, get up here. Get up here and make it clear that you're up here. We're about to have people come around you and pray with you and support you. We're about to have people come and say, you know what? We're your family. We believe in the blessings of God for your family. We believe in this new beginning. There are more. I'm going to give just a few more moments. If you want to say, I'm laying these things aside, I'm running after the high call of God, I'm going into a place of freedom, come this morning. Come and stand in the front. Come on. I'm going to give you just a few more moments. A few more moments. Jesus. 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 Can I have some men and women that are willing to say, we will come alongside you. We will walk with you. Come on. I want to see some holy huddles this morning. I sometimes say that tongue in cheek, but can we just see these men and women surrounded by the family of God? This is a beautiful moment that the Lord is giving to them that they are due for, that they are being called into. Can we take this so seriously? Come on, can we take this so reverently just to say, we're going to see these people walk out. We're going to see these people cast the old things aside and walk in newness of life. Come on, lift your voice and pray. Will the rest of you, church, just begin to pray, begin to worship, begin to let this be just an atmosphere of praise. Lord, you're able.